We're speaking now with Kyle Schreiber, and he is a candidate for the Sandpoint City Council. Kyle, thanks for getting with us.
Definitely.
Well, let's start by getting to know you a bit better. Can you tell us a bit about yourself, how long you've lived here, how you got to Sandpoint, a bit about your qualifications?
Sure. Yeah, so I was born and raised in Colorado, and I've always been drawn to the outdoors and the mountains. So I immediately moved to a town called Steamboat that back then it was very similar to what Sandpoint is now. And, worked two jobs as at a tire shop and stocking shelves at the grocery store while I went to community college. Eventually transferred over to the University of Wyoming, ski patrolled at their little local hill while I went to college, graduated with my bachelor's in business administration, minor in finance, in the year 2008, which was possibly the worst time to have a degree in finance.
Yeah, because we had that crash in the,
yes.
in the economy there, yeah.
Right, so that led me to combine my education and my love of the outdoors in a different career path, and led me back to other mountain towns around Colorado. I eventually settled in southern Colorado, working for a family-run ski area in their marketing department, and that really shaped my thinking on a lot of things, because the family was very much in favor of putting the community over their bottom line, and they were involved in fighting a developer who wanted to build this big sprawling mess at their base area. So that's where I met my wife, in a little town of 300 people, a little mining town, and lost a few friends to avalanches, and so I became a volunteer backcountry rescuer and avalanche educator. And, my wife and I wanted to find a place to put down roots, but what we found is that most of the mountain towns around the West had become unlivable and unaffordable because of a lot of the issues that Sandpoint is facing right now. And so, luckily, I was recruited to come work for a company here in Sandpoint in 2017. And so that's when we moved here. Mm-hmm. I immediately wanted to help out wherever I could. And so I started going to council meetings and learning everything I could about upcoming issues. I noticed that there was a lot of issues that wasn't supported by the community, but nobody really knew about it until after it was already a done deal. So, I decided to get a little bit more involved. Mm-hmm. In terms of my qualifications, I have never had government or political office. I've never pictured myself as someone who would do that. But, when I tell people that I worked in marketing, they often think advertising, but there's more to it than that. In fact, good marketing isn't, here's a product, go convince people that they should buy it. Good marketing is starting from a point of, what is it that the customer needs, and how can we fix that problem for them? And so that's really the approach that I want to take to city government, isn't let's build this glitzy thing and convince everybody that it was a good idea, but start with the basic things that the residents of Sandpoint need first.
Okay, well, that kind of answers my next question, but why are you running for city council?
Yeah, I see Sandpoint at a critical juncture where we can follow all these other mountain towns down this path that leads to being unaffordable and ultimately unlivable, and or we can stand up and take action right now and save Sandpoint.
Okay, well, along those lines, how do you think the current council is doing? If you were going to give the council, the mayor, the administration, the city overall, mm-hmm. a grade from A to F, what grade would they get from you, Kyle?
Well, I mean, I think it's more complex than a letter grade, but if you can't tell, I'm running because I'm frustrated with how things are going. And I think a lot of people in our community are frustrated with things, the way things are going. You know, I've been going to every council this council meeting this year and speaking at most of them, sometimes speaking on multiple items in a meeting, and watching other people speak, and then watching the council not take any action. And, you know, when unpopular decisions are made, it's often put on to the public that they should have been more involved. But I think it's unreasonable to expect people who are working two jobs, struggling just to afford to live here, to also have to babysit the city and all these decisions. That's why we have elected officials, is so that they don't have to. They can trust us to make those decisions for them. Mm-hmm. So we really need to rebuild that trust and make sure that we are making the decisions that the residents of Sandpoint want.
And so what would that grade be? What kind of grade does that yield?
Well, like I said, it's more complex than a grade, because I do feel that the current council really does have the best interest of Sandpoint at their hearts, and they are making decisions that they think are best. But unfortunately, I think a lot of times big controversial issues are being pushed through so quickly that, and it's unfair to the council because they don't have time to really vet an issue. It's unfair to city staff. They are being put on these unreasonable time frames to push these projects through. And it's certainly unfair to the public, who doesn't even find out about something until it's too late, it's already a done deal.
Okay, well, I think you probably answered part of my next question. Among the myriad issues that are facing the city, what do you consider to be the three or four biggest issues?
Yeah, so transparency and responsiveness of our local government is key. We really need to make sure that people have the information they need to give good feedback. And when they do give feedback, we need to be responsive by taking action. And then the second issue, I think, is that we don't have an unlimited budget. And so at a time when we have our city streets are well below national standards, and even with the fourfold increase that we recently gave our street maintenance budget due to the lodging tax that the voters approved, they're still not expected to be at national standards. It's just expected to keep them from getting even worse. And at a time when our sewer treatment plant is well overdue for replacement, and what a lot of people don't know is that their utility rates went up by almost 20% this year. They're going to go up by another 20% next year and the year after that. And I recently had a conversation with the head of the firefighters union, and he clued me into some serious concerns about budgeting and staffing in his department. So at a time when we have all of these really critical services that are in dire need, we need to put down these big cosmetic projects that a lot of people in the community question whether they're even necessary. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing, you know, it's not a traditional city service, but I think it's definitely reaching crisis levels here, and that is housing. Affordable, livable housing. Like I said, I've lived in several mountain towns around the West, and, you know, I've been that local worker who lost their housing with less than 30 days notice because the landlord turned it into a short-term rental. So, you know, that really spurred me to look at this issue and look at what other municipalities like us are doing and come up with some real solutions, not just stand there and say, oh, you know, we really need to do something, but actually make progress on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, what would you suggest they do? I know that the council just recently was looking at creation of a housing authority. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I think there's a lot of people in the community who are questioning why and why now. But if you look at other communities like ours that have done that, McCall is a really good example. They have some really strong housing initiatives that I think we should look to. And they did that with a commission, not with an authority.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, when they went to the authority model, they ran into a roadblock that it's been a year now and they haven't even appointed anyone to that housing authority. So in essence, they had a working model, and when they went to the authority model, all progress stopped. Maybe I shouldn't say all progress, but that's my concern, is we already have the Bonner Community Housing Agency, who is doing great work in the community, and I'm curious whether it's necessary to go to that model rather than building off of what we already have. I also think that some of the counselors raised some interesting concerns during that council meeting about whether the city administrator is the right person to be the executive director of that authority. So,
mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else you want to say about affordable housing in terms of solutions that might be out there? You mentioned McCall's done some things that you think have been effective, but there's definitely a squeeze on right now for workforce housing mm-hmm. that's going to take less than 30% of an average working person's budget here. Mm-hmm. And the question is, how do we generate more of that?
Yeah, I could talk all day about housing. So one of the ideas I have, and I borrowed it from what McCall is doing, not exactly, but it's called a deed incentive program. And essentially what it is, it allows existing homeowners to opt into a program that puts a requirement on their deed that says anytime it's sold from now on, it has to be sold to a local worker. And that's usually incentivized with some money to make it worth their while. But I've talked to several people in the community who, they've lived here for a really long time. They have a lot of equity in their homes, and they want to give back to the community in some way. And so I think there would be support for that in the community of people who want to see Sandpoint stay a working class town. In addition to that, we have a strong short-term rental ordinance, but I'm hearing from lots of people in the community that it's not being enforced well enough. And ultimately, every illegal short-term rental out there, unpermitted short-term rental, is a potential affordable home for someone. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely part of the problem. A lot of our housing stock has been channeled into these short-term rentals. And that's, of course, understandable from the homeowner's point of view, possibly, because they can make more money than with longer-term leases. But it's leaving us without enough stock for the local workers.
Right. And that's another solution that I'm working on, is extending the homeowner's exemption to landlords who rent to a local at an affordable rate. Mm-hmm. So essentially they would be eligible. Now, of course, that's beyond the purview of a city councilor, but last year the city council voted to hire a lobbyist to represent our issues and other resort town issues in our state legislature, and I think that that's a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. That it would not only help Sandpoint, it would help all of the communities like ours.
Okay, well, you kind of touched on this as a potentially cosmetic project, but I'd like to ask a question about it. Right now, the city has a master planning process underway to guide development of the waterfront in the downtown. In fact, as we speak on Monday, tomorrow there's going to be a presentation by the design firm that was retained there, GGLO, on a more final version of their downtown concept. What's your take on the process, which was a design competition, and the initial plans we've seen from the engineering firm?
Well, yeah, that's exactly the type of project that I was talking about. You know, I do support some zoning changes and some design guidelines for the downtown district to make sure that we do keep that unique Sandpoint character. But I don't think that we needed to budget $500,000 to hire an outside consulting firm to redesign our entire downtown. And I think a lot of the people in the community agree with me on that. I think that we didn't need to wait this long to bring those zoning changes forward. And in fact, the longer we wait, the more we draw this process out, the more danger we're in that developers are just going to slip their permits in before we get a chance to make those changes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, here's kind of a related question. The city has just completed an update to its comprehensive plan that was actually several years in process, got delayed by COVID. It's come before the council for approval. They're actually going to have a workshop in a week or so now on the comp plan draft that's there. What is your take on the comp plan? Have you had a chance to look at it, and do you agree with the direction it's going?
Oh, yes. I've been eyeballs deep in the comp plan for this upcoming meeting. And in fact, I spoke at the hearing last week. This goes back to what I was saying about things being rushed through, because although it's taken 4 years, some of the counselors were pointing out numerous typos in the document. It wasn't even ready from a spell check standpoint, much less I stood up and pointed out that language had been removed from the 2009 comp plan that said that we would deny extending services into our ACI,
because area of city impact, yeah,
the area of city impact for low density developments. That's expensive from the city standpoint, and we're already struggling to afford our services as it is, and it encourages suburban sprawl.
Mm-hmm. And so that's one thing you'd like to see changed in the comp plan.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, well, we are just about at the end of our time here. How can the public find out more about you and get in touch with you?
Yeah, I have a website, kyle4sandpoint.com. That's four spelled out, F-O-R. And likewise, my email address is kyle4sandpoint@gmail.com, four spelled out, F-O-R. And I have a Facebook page, facebook.com, you guessed it, kyle4sandpoint.
Hey, you're consistent.
Yep.
Very important. All right, Kyle Schreiber, thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Thanks for inviting me.